So today, I'm Paul Baalbeck III, as y'all know. Today is 12/12/21. We're in the book of Ephesians. This is Adult Sunday School. Hopefully you all know that, but for those out there. And today, you know, I'm teaching verse by verse. We're going to do one verse. Ephesians 1:16. I figure if I do one verse, I'll get all my verses. But that's what you do, you know, when you exegete, you dig out. So we compare scripture with scripture, right? Because it gives us a more round and full view of what something means. And so let's read that verse. Well, let's open up in prayer first. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for another beautiful day out there. We thank you for it's another day of grace. And we never want to take that for granted, Father. I thank you I wasn't born under law. I would have been stoned. Because I know I would, as a rebel, especially when I was unsaved, I would have broke it. And so I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your free gift of life, the gift of righteousness, the gift of forgiveness, all them spiritual blessings, Father. And we always want to realize the only reason we have them is because of Christ. And so I pray your Holy Spirit will help us to see this high spiritual truth in the book of Ephesians, where we're even seated in the heavenly places with Christ. And may your Holy Spirit just illumine our minds, Father. Help us to understand your word. And not just to get a mental ascent to it, but to really understand, have a full knowledge, so it causes us to love, and it causes us to apply your word in our lives. And I pray if there's someone who doesn't know you today, through the message in the Sunday school this morning, that they might come to know you when they hear the gospel, or when the pastor later, we pray for his message. And I pray your Holy Spirit that indwells both of us would just use us to edify, to reach the lost, and help everyone else who's saved to come to the knowledge of the truth more fully. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So we're in, again, Ephesians 1:16. Let's read it. And Paul, if you go back to 15, Paul says, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love for all the saints. So we went over that last week. And just a refresher, I'm not going to go back. Real faith should produce what in our lives? Do you remember last week's message? Should produce love, right? And so now Paul says in verse 16, since he's heard of their faith in the Lord Jesus and the love for all the saints, that he didn't cease not to give thanks for you and making mention of you in my prayers. So we're going to take a look today at prayer and the dispensation of grace. You know, new grace believers, when they come into seeing the importance of having to rightly divide the word, you know one of the most confusing things to them is about prayer. Because they weren't taught to rightly divide the word. There's different promises to Israel, and we can't claim them. We have our own in Paul's epistles, right? So now they've been taught maybe to pray for health and wealth, you know. And there's nothing wrong with praying for our health if someone's sick. You know, I'm not saying that. But you know what I'm talking about, the name and the claim and blab it and grab it. You know, praying, God put a hedge around my family, and you know, things in the Old Testament and things. So we're going to look at just a bit today, and hopefully it will help us. And also, there's a balance, and you know, I always try and be balanced in my teaching, and that's why Kevin Sadler from the Berean Bible Institute, or not Institute, Society, the president, he's one of my favorite teachers. He's very real balanced. And he's got a good sense of humor, which, you know, he got jokes like the pastor, you know. if you want to call them jokes, you know, they're so sometimes goofy that they're funny, you know. My wife loves the pastor's jokes, and today we're going to go by my brother-in-law's after, and I always tell him the pastor's jokes, you know why? Not that they're all that funny, you know, but sometimes they are, you know, he makes busts me up, but because there's a message behind them. He starts out with a joke, so now I can tell him, you know why he said that? Plant a little bit of seeds, right? So, you know, but there's a balance, because you have, you know, your average evangelicals or the charismatics or Pentecostals way over here trying to claim things that are not to us and about us in the body of Christ in the dispensation of grace, right? But then you have mid-Acts dispensationalists that will tell you we should never pray for physical things. Now what, go to Philippians 4:19. Actually, later we're going to come back here, but just for right now. Philippians 4:19. And this is from our Apostle Paul, so it's directly to the body of Christ. But my God shall supply all your need. Let's stop there for a sec, and then we'll keep reading the verse, because you don't want to just read half and try and take some. All your need. What do you need? We're blessed already with every spiritual blessing, right, in Christ. But we need what? To have our minds illumined so we can understand what those blessings are, right? So be out of God's mercy, and the love of God compels us, right? His grace teaches us so we can worship Him, right? So doesn't Paul say to be content with food, clothes? The idea is shelter. God supplies that. And this, I'm not going to go all real deep into it. Actually, I did on Facebook, if you're on Facebook, asked me, and I did a series on prayer from Colossians, actually. You were there from the beginning, right? Because we, Al and Sue, they're faithful Thursday nighters. Anyway, when I went through the book of Colossians, we went all the way through there, verse by verse. Now we're in the book of Romans, and we're like at Romans chapter 10 or something like that. But if you want more, a little bit about this subject, what I'm talking about right now, let me know. If you're on Facebook, I'll send you the videos. But, you know, people say, oh, we shouldn't pray for physical things. Because God's, and they'll go to this verse. They'll say, according to his riches and glory, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So I said, see, that's, it's his riches and glory by Christ Jesus, so that's only spiritual things. Well, we should pray about spiritual things, and that should be our main, I think, prayers, to grow spiritually, right? The things about God, they're spiritual things. But also, we should pray, and don't you thank God for your food?
Yes.
Right? Paul said all things are, you know, you can eat all things, you know, and I forget the verse how it goes exactly, because we give thanks to God for it. So God supplies our needs. You notice he didn't say our wants? Because we want a whole lot of things, especially our flesh, right? And that's what the TV evangelists, right, that got, you know, big filled buildings, right? Because they're teaching them to name and claim not so much spiritual things, right? See, that extreme. But physical healing and physical blessings, financial, God will make you rich. This is your best life now. Did you know that? Boy, I hope not. Hope this ain't my best life. I'm looking forward to heaven, the rapture, right? That's going to be our best then. But you know, you can have a joyous, rejoicing life now. Because I see sometimes believers all focused on all the problems. And that's all they're talking about. You know, they're not focused on Christ. They're not focused on the riches in Christ, and we're seated with Christ. They're not looking at life from a heavenly perspective where you're seated in heaven. That's the book of Ephesians, right? Looking down and looking from God's perspective at life. You know, God's in control. Satan wants you to look at everything that's going on, what he's doing. And he wants our attention off of Christ, our attention off God, our attention off spiritual things. And what do we need to do? Take every thought captive, right? Because Satan will throw them flaming darts. And if you stand there, he'll smack you around. See, I grew up in the hood. you know about the hood, bro. And you know when I see somebody just stand there and let some guy smack them, you know, I'll be looking like, I'm glad you ain't coming up to me. You know. You don't stand there and let somebody beat you up in the hood. Now they tell you in high school, oh, you gotta roll over and you're crazy. I'm gonna roll over and if somebody attacks me, you know, I'm gonna do everything I can to walk away, you know. You never want to, but there comes a place, defending your family, you know, or whatever. That's why I studied martial arts. But what I want to say is there's a balance. Because I've seen, I won't mention what church it is. I won't mention if it's here. Or maybe it was another one I ministered at. But I listened to the prayer request. This was years ago. And you know what they all were? All physical prayers about physical things. And I said, that's not balanced. I didn't hear prayers for our family, for their salvation. It was just physical things. And we should pray for that, right? If somebody's in pain, struggling financially, could be physically, emotionally, you know. So there's a balance. So I just want to get that across. Keep a balanced view. You can disagree with me if you want, you know. But that's how I see it. When I look at even in Corinthians, Paul says that God supplies, you know, seed for the farmer, right? And then what? From that comes bread, right? So all that's why we thank God before, you know, what they say, we say grace, you know. That's not a girl's name. It's some of it is, you know. We want to be thankful. You know, I think when you pray before you eat, it gets you focused on God, don't it? And you're not just like taking it for granted that, well, I should have always something to eat. Think of the people in the world that don't. You know, my mom used to say, finish your food. How come you're not finishing your food? Even when I was older. She goes, there's people in the world that are starving. I said, if I eat all of it, is it going to help them? You know, mom. But I know what she means. Don't take it for granted. But you don't have... I eat till I'm full, except the Word of God. I never get full enough on that, you know. So let's go to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 and 11, actually, we're going to be in. And anyone who knows their Bible knows this is the chapter where Paul's... It's his postscript. You know what that means? The last things you're going to write, that's the most important things you want to get in. And it's about our armor that God's provided us with. And so part of that armor is prayer. For ourselves and for others. Because we're in a war, ain't we? A spiritual war. It's light and darkness. Now the wars... The war's been won, but Satan don't want to admit it. You know, so we don't war against what? Flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities and powers, you know. And you know, the problem with that is you can't see them. Kevin Sadler did a a series on spiritual warfare, and he said, maybe it's good we can't, because if we could see, Satan's organized, but it's disorganized too. Because, you know, when you love God, right, you are working together under his will. Well, remember, demons and dominions and, principalities, they don't have, like, a loyalty. I think Satan probably threatens them to keep them doing what he wants, you know. And so he said it's probably good we can't see that spiritual activity, you know. It might give us a heart attack, you know. But we have armor, right? Amen. God has given us things to protect us. And remember to apply it. Because you don't see Satan's plans, you know, not that he directly is coming at you, or me. But he has his army, right? There's these, they're organized in a way. It's like a government, right? And so we need to not stand there and let Satan, bam, bam, bam. We need to apply, we need to pick up the sword of the Spirit, right? Double-edged sword. We need to rightly divide it. Why? So we can accurately apply it, right? So we can wield it. You know, put up that shield of faith, right? But anyway, prayer is part of that. Prayer, I think, can be offense and defense. You know, when you're going through something, you know, it's defense. But also, when we're praying certain things, it's offense. When you're praying for other believers, look what Paul says in Ephesians 6, 10, and 11. Finally, my brethren, you notice he didn't say, be strong in yourself. That's dependence on Christ, right, within us. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. Why? That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So Satan's got methods, he's got wiles, right? And so we learn what they are as we study Scripture, all of Scripture. Not just Paul's epistles, but we especially learn what Scripture exposes darkness, doesn't it? So let's go now to verse 18 through 20. Because we're dealing with prayer today. Eventually, we're going to get to chapter 6, and I'm excited to get there. But I don't want to just, you know, jump through the rest, because there's so much spiritual riches in the book of Ephesians, isn't there? He says, praying always. So let's stop there. How much should you be praying? Not only when I say you, I'm talking to myself too. How much should we be praying?
Always.
Where else does Paul say in Colossians, pray without ceasing, right? Does that mean that you walk around with your eyes closed and, you know, your hands in prayer posture and, you know, and you're driving like in the Spirit? You know, hey, I'm driving and I'm praying in the Spirit, so I ain't got to, you know, no, right? It means being in a prayerful mindset. All through the day, it's, thank you, God. Lord, you see what they're going through? Remember the pastor said, and I like that. Our prayers for other people, sometimes they should be long. We should really, our heart should be behind them when we're going through something, our brothers and sisters, right? Or our pastor, keep him in prayer, you know? The leaders is who Satan's really going to attack. Because if they fall, it really affects a church. And so the idea is it's being in that intimate relationship with our Heavenly Father. Like I'm driving here, like usual, Mary's in the front seat. Jacob's got his sunglasses, so you don't know if he's sleeping or not. You know, but you can see his mouth open, the fly going in now. Well, I'm like, here we are again, God. I says, they're not much to talk to on the way here, but I says, I have you. And thank you for that privilege of that relationship that we're never alone, you know. And sometimes we forget about that, right? And we get our mind on things. But anyway, he says, praying always, so we should stay in that prayerful mindset with all prayer. So all kinds of prayer. And sometimes we should pray long for someone, right? You ain't got to pray in King James English. It sounds pretty, but you know, you ask some believers, would you like to pray? No, because they think they might pray in the wrong way, embarrass themselves. And it's okay if you did, because the Holy Spirit intercedes for us, right? Don't worry about if you don't pray, you know, beautifully. You know, one of the most beautiful prayers that Bob George says, when his wife first got saved, God, I love you. We love him, why? Because he first loved us. She was responding to his love. And he says that was probably warm God's heart. It wasn't this long, like I said, prayer that you got to say exactly perfect. It was from her heart. And that's what God's looking for. So, but sometimes, like I said, I like what the pastor brought up, that Paul says, I make mention of you in my prayers, right? What's mention mean? Not long. I think of someone, Lord, today take them deeper in grace. Just mention them. And then, you know, you can go on to something else. I pray every day for our church. Every day, individuals. Because we're all going through something. You know, I know I'm proud of my little brother here. He's bigger than me, but, you know, younger. Then we got little Biggie. He really needs prayer. No. Bill's the one who really needs prayer. So, pray that he stays awake today. I'm proud of him because he's getting focused on the Lord in ministry, and he might start applying for the Berean Bible Institute, which Mary's going, and Chris is going to start going now. Keep him, Mary, in prayer, and now him. And so you pray for people, because I know, because you're really growing and being focused on the Lord, and when that happens, Satan's going to try and distract you. He's going to throw things your way. And that's when you stay in this word, you put on this armor, right? All of us. Because we're in a war. But just remember, it ain't the people, the puppets. You know, people are puppets of Satan. You know, like you got some evil things going on, I think, in our country. I'm not going to get into it, but they're just puppets. Remember who's behind it. So you don't hate the people and pray for their salvation. You say, I don't like that evil. Pray for them. We were unsaved at one time, right? I bet you somebody prayed for us. A lot of grandma's prayers got answered, I think. Our uncles, our aunts, sisters, brothers, mothers, fathers. And so Paul says, praying always, with all prayer and supplication, what's supplication mean? Being specific. Because if you're not specific, how are you going to know when God answers that prayer? Right? You be specific praying. If you know what someone needs prayer for, be specific, you know. And supplication in the Spirit. Well, what's that mean? Under the influence of the Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? He's called the Spirit of Truth, right? He's God, the Spirit. He's the Spirit of Truth. And so we're praying in the Spirit. We're going to be praying truth. So you know what praying in God's will is? We're studying His Word. We're rightly dividing it so we know His will. We're accurate with the Word of God. And we're praying back what God tells us His will is. You know, I remember Bob George. He was very effective in my early days as starting to come to understanding grace. And that's why I met Alan Sue at that week-long conference, right? And do you remember I borrowed you $20 back then? Never did pay. No, just fine. You ever get somebody doing that to you? So they see you and they go, hey, you never paid me that $20. I go, because I didn't borrow no $20 from you, because I always pay back.
With interest.
With interest, right? But anyway, now, again, I forgot, but it don't matter, it'll come back to me on. Oh, I know. Bob George, his father and him would discuss politics, and he says everything he learned about politics he learned from his dad. So what was he doing? Just repeating back to him what his dad had taught him. Well, that's like prayer, right? We're learning God's will through rightly dividing his word, and especially in Paul's epistles, right? And plus, you look at other places, you know, all scripture is profitable, but you're only going to get the most profit the way God's designed it, what? When you rightly divide it, right? And so he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching there unto with all perseverance. See, don't quit, right? And supplication for the saints. So we should be praying for each other. And I think that's part of how we help each other as fellow soldiers of the cross, right? Are we praying for each other? And that's love. See, when you pray for somebody, you're loving them. And they don't even know. That's what love is. You ain't doing it for you. Oh, well, it makes me feel good. You know, remember what Christ said about prayer? He says the Pharisees, they anoint their head with oil and show people they're fasting and praying and they're walking around, you know, like this. Everybody notice how holy I am? Right? And what did Christ say? When you pray, he said they got their reward, right? Because people are impressed. But what did Christ say? Go in the closet and pray. And your father will hear you. Now, does that mean we should only pray in the closet?
Yeah.
No, he's giving an illustration. Don't do things just so to impress people. Do it out of love. See the principle there? There's principles all through the Word of God that we learn from. Some things are transdispensational. So we want to pray for all, for the believers, right, with perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And then what else should we be praying for? Paul said it, and for me, well, now we can't pray for Paul, right? But we can pray this for ourselves and others, that utterance may be given unto me. So the right words, like when we're sharing the mystery and doing it, watch, well, you'll see, that I might open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. So Paul says somewhere else that I might, as I ought. There's a way to share. It's not being mean. There's a lot of mean rightly dividers. Have you ever bumped into any? They're disgusting to be around. Because all they got is big doctrine heads and they're trying to win arguments. They're not in love, being patient, giving people a chance to learn and grow. How long did it take you to learn how to rightly divide the word? Where you really understood it clearly, right? Amen. You know, we want to be, look it, there's the verse. You don't get it. Right? No. I remember that, what was her name? Anyway, she said she turned away from hearing rightly dividing the word and the mystery because somebody was mean. She said, that can't be from God. And I was friends with that lady who was mean to her on Facebook. I defriended her. You know, some guy did was ask about prayer, and she went all over him. It was like a younger guy that didn't understand much. And I said, you know what? We need to be bold. Paul talks about opening our mouth boldly, right? But we need to speak the truth in love, and love is not rude. And she says, well, if I got to be bold and whatever. And I says, well, you know what? You ain't doing this, my friend. I don't want to be associated with you. I love Facebook. You can just block them, you know, delete them. Can't do that with people in your life, right? Like normal, your family. So Paul says, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as, here's the word, as I ought. So we ought to speak boldly Don't be ashamed of the mystery just because they call you names and make fun of you. Because that's, you know why they call you names? That's a smokescreen. Because they can't give answers to this word rightly divided. So what do? Call people names. Hyperdispensationalist? Greasy Gracer? I'll say, no, I'm not a hyperdispensationalist or extreme. That's Acts 28 dispensationalist. Because they go extreme. I'm a mid-Acts Pauline dispensationalist, because that's the most consistent view of the scriptures. And I'm sorry, you're a premature dispensationalist, Acts 2. That's what I call them, premature dispensationalists. They start the dispensation of grace prematurely, right? And then sometimes they don't know what to say. Mary said I have a sarcastic sense of humor. I don't know. I guess sometimes I do. But I see that in scripture. Remember the prophet, was it Isaiah or Elijah, when he would make fun of their idols? Oh, it's got eyes, but it can't see. Oh, it's got a mouth, but it can't talk. It's got legs, but you got to carry it around. That's sarcasm, right? Because you're trying to get a message across, not to be mean, you know. Now, I wouldn't pray like he was bald, I guess, and for, you know, I prayed about keeping my hair, and I'm still there, so I don't know. But anybody who's, you know, I don't want to be looking at anybody like when I'm saying this because they'll be thinking I'm talking about them. But if you're bald, they were laughing, teenagers were laughing at him. And bears came out of the woods and tore them teenagers up. Luckily, God ain't doing that today, right? Praise God. Because sometimes people, you know, they're praying, God, take care of them. I told you about that guy at my Bible study, right? At the end, we would go around and pray. And he starts praying, God, get my boss. Rip him up. And I'm like, the message was about forgiveness. And this was the prayer at the end. I bust out laughing. I laughed right in the middle of the prayer, you know. But that ain't how we ought. So there's a way that we ought to speak, right? And we ought to pray about that. That when we're sharing with people, we're patient, we're loving. But don't hold back, because we're supposed to pray boldly. Speak the truth in love, right? Go to 2 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. 2 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 through 18. Verse 16. Rejoice evermore. What's that mean? It's a question. And it said, rejoice evermore. What does that mean?
Rejoice of what the Lord gave you.
Rejoice in the Lord. Don't stop rejoicing.
Always, right? Rejoice evermore. That's God's will for us. You know, people go, oh, that Christian, they do this. Oh, that Christian, they do that. They look like they're sucking on a lemon, right? Yeah, Pharisaical Christian. But they ain't rejoicing. They're in sin. You know, when we're worrying, what is sin? Being out of God's will, right? Doing the opposite. It's rebelling. Paul tells us, be anxious for none. Or careful. Your heart's full of care. That's anxiety. So when we're worrying, we're in sin. When we're not rejoicing, that's sin. But that one like this, he don't realize he's in sin. Look at him. Look at them sinners. They like lifting their lips, looking down on people because they're not doing some of the things that they're doing. There's modern day Pharisees, ain't there? Have you ever come across any? I have. I remember one dude years back when I was a young Christian, all up in my face. I told him, you need to step back, dude. You know, I was ready to clip him, you know. He was this legalist, you know. I said, you need, don't step in my space, you know. So, this is God's will for us. And aren't you glad God doesn't want us this, you know, sad person all the time? He wants us rejoicing. And when we're applying God's word, we'll be rejoicing. When we stay focused on Christ, we'll be rejoicing. Rejoice evermore. So always God's wills will rejoice. And what else? Pray without ceasing. See, when you're praying, what do you focus on? God. Be anxious for nothing. Well, what do I do if I'm anxious? But by prayer. What does prayer take our focus? Not on what I'm anxious about. God. Now this that seems like it's a mountain, right? When I'm anxious about, seems like it gets bigger because I'm always focused. And my mind gets stuck on what I'm thinking about. And then I don't see ways out because it keeps getting bigger. Well, all of a sudden, I focus on God. What happens? This mountain starts shrinking and I'm realizing how big God is. God's all powerful. He's all loving, right? He's omnipotent, all knowing, right? That's a good thing to do, to take it to Him, man. Don't bear that burden on your shoulders, right? What does Peter say to his hearers? And that's transdispensational. Cast your cares upon Him because He cares for you. So he says, pray without ceasing. So staying in that continual mindset. And what else? In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So this goes along with Philippians, right? We compare scripture with scripture, right? Line upon line, precept upon precept. Be anxious. So what's it say? In everything, give thanks, right? What's Philippians say? Be anxious for nothing, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your requests be made known to God. And what happens? And the peace of God. God gives us His peace. We already have peace with God, and if you don't know that, you won't have the peace of God, because you know why? You'll be waiting for Him to get you. That's taught in church, right? God's going to get you. Take you out to that woodshed because He loves you. And He's going to beat you bloody. That's like saying an abusive father that hurts. I mean, overdoes. He's doing an anger and beats some kid. Oh, he's doing it for their good. No, he's getting his anger out. He's trying to feel better. God ain't like that. You know what God did with His anger? Towards us and our sins? He poured everything in on Christ. And Christ absorbed it all. So we don't have to suffer. Aren't you glad for that? Amen. You don't got to be afraid of God when you fall flat on your face. What do? Spiritually, you run and you jump into His lap and He just embraces you. Remember the story of the prodigal son? He just fell into all kinds of bad stuff, right? Sins. And what did it say when he came to his senses? He remembered his father, what kind of man he was. And he went home. The father didn't even give him a chance to start confessing his sins, did he? He just ran and kissed him on his neck. Son, I'm so glad you're home. And when we get our focus off God, that's a good picture. He just wants you to get your focus back on Him. When you fail, maybe I remember I used to, when I was under the legalism and beat up and, you know, trying to serve God in my own strength and recommit to the commitment I broke last week. And when I thought God's so disgusted with me because I felt like I was like the prodigal son, filthy like in being with the pigs. You know, around them pigs, they stank. I don't know if any of you ever been down south, you know, or whatever. I don't know. Did you ever raise pigs?
Oh, yes.
You know. No wonder. That's not stay smelling for a while now. Anyways, but it's God embraces us. He said, you don't have to do that. What'd he do? Let's have a feast. He didn't take him to the woodshed. Praise God for that, for his unconditional love. And so, can we give God thanks for that? Giving thanks to God, that should be causing us to rejoice. His grace should cause us to rejoice. Learn how to really divide should not just puff us up and give us head knowledge, but it should get into our hearts, and it should cause us to rejoice. Let's go to Philippians 1, 9 and 10. Philippians chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. Look at one of Paul's prayers. Verse 9, Philippians 1, verse 9, and then we're going to do 10. And this I pray. And that word in the Greek is in the perfect tense, and I forget these other things in the what they call in the Greek, but it means, you know how in Ephesians it says, we are saved, or you have been saved by grace? That's the perfect tense. It means you have been and you continue to be saved. Eternal security. Well, here, Paul is continually praying. He didn't just pray one time. He said, in this I pray. And what's he praying about? That your love may abound more and more in knowledge and all and in all judgment. So, Paul was praying. They had love, the Philippians, didn't they? They supported Paul's ministry. Remember he told the Corinthians? I robbed other churches because he wouldn't take a cent from the Corinthians. Because there was people taking advantage of them, using them to try false apostles, right? Trying to, and there's false, they call themselves apostles and prophets today. Anybody who does that is a false apostle and prophet. Because there are none. When you, with the word of God being completed, and you didn't need that them offices anymore. Like somebody, you know I do that Bible study on Tuesdays in Uganda, right? Well, one of the guys from there, because they have a lot, you know, there's a bad movement, and it's really in other countries and even here. It's called Apostolic Reformation, and the idea is God's restoring the office of apostles and prophets. And so the guy, he says, hey, brother, apostle and prophet. That was his greeting to me, and I wrote him back. I said, I ain't an apostle, and I ain't no prophet. I'm a pastor and a Bible teacher. I said, that office ended when you had the Word of God completed. But I like Don Vino. He's a mid-ex dispensationalist, but he's not real strong about it. He has an apology. He used to have an apologetic show on the radio, Midwest Christian Outreach. Now they're on YouTube. If you ever want to check them out, learn some more about apologetics. But he used to say, so, and you know, if I hear something good, I'm like a comedian, I snatch it. He said, I'm not a prophet, I'm not a son of a prophet, and I work for a nonprofit organization. Actually, me and Mary support our ministry. Yeah. Do me a favor, but keep in prayer. We're going to try and do, with another couple in Florida, Lisa, that comes to our Bible study on Thursday nights on Facebook. And she said, she's such an encouragement. She said it's her and her husband's favorite night of the week they look forward to. That's just blessed by heart, you know. Because sometimes you think, you know, is anything really happening, you know, through it? Sometimes, you know, because I don't care about numbers. I've done Bible studies, not just one, with one person. So I never look for numbers, but it's nice when you see more people coming, you know why? The message is getting out more, you know. And then if they share with people, you know, they can repost it, so it's getting out more and more, you know. But anyways, it says that, and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more. Oh, what I was going to ask you to pray for it. See, that's why I don't dwell on it, because then I won't. We want to do a Bible conference in Florida next spring or summer, so keep that in prayer, you know, that we find a way. So he says, in this I pray, so he's continuously praying, that your love, so they had love, but what's he praying for them? Your love may abound yet more and more. In what? And knowledge. You know what that word knowledge there in the Greek means? A full knowledge. It's not just, I know a little bit about it. It's a full, intimate knowledge. In all judgment. And that that's why I like going to the Greek, so you can understand. Because sometimes we think of judgment as what? Judging maybe like a judge. Judging. But the word can be interpreted discernment, and all discernment. So it's understanding, you can discern things. See, the Holy Spirit, when you study this word, you rightly divide it, you memorize it, you meditate on it, you're very familiar with it, the Holy Spirit will give you discernment when you're hearing stuff. Even, you know, like our pastor, overall, our pastor's right on the money. But I'll hear something sometime I wouldn't agree with the man. Now, I don't go running to him every time I don't agree with something, because that's just not encouraging. But he doesn't mind if you bring something to him. And he's humble, and let's open the scriptures. And that should be like that, you know. So I discern. I always tell people, don't believe everything I'm saying. Because if you do, now if I'm right, and it's in context of the word, and it's rightly divided word, then yeah, but research it for yourself, right? Otherwise, you're just doing like most religious people do, following their priest, their pastor, right? When you study this word and you know it, you're going to discern. I listen to the radio, Christian radio. Sometimes I can't even listen to some programs because you discern it. It's like the Holy Spirit brings this verse to your mind. You go, look at how off they are. But boy, they sound good, right? It's very important to know this word and to rightly divide it. And then he says, so God's will then would be for our love to abound more and more. Not just have knowledge, right? But knowledge should do something in our heart, right? You know the word heart, when Paul, I forget, I think it's in Ephesians someplace, has the idea of your mind and emotions. That's a heart. So the word shouldn't just get up here. We got to have it up here, right? We need sound doctrine. But it should get into our heart, right? And then into our will, right? Into our life. And then it gets into other people's lives, because the Holy Spirit will use us and produce fruit in and through us. And he says that we may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. So, how many have read Things That Differ by C.R. Stamm? I think that should be in everyone's library, Christian library. That's not the only book, with some other books too. But I think that is such a good book because it was a first, what they call it, semester in a Grace Bible School and Teach and Write Division. And to me, it's a classic, right? So the name of that book is Things That Differ. Well, this verse can be translated that you may approve things that differ. Now, what word, when you hear a word, should the Holy Spirit, that's what I'm saying, one verse should he'll bring another verse. Approve. What other verse comes to your mind? 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God's. So there's a way that has God's approval. How we study. So if we don't study that way, what? We don't got God's approval. You know why? Because if it's a study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman, you got to put in the work, right? Studying. The flesh is weak, but the spirit's willing. We don't go by our feelings. We go by what? Faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. See how verses will, you know, put together in your mind, the Holy Spirit will. So we got to rightly divide it, right? When you rightly divide, what is that? Things that differ, right? When Peter preached about on Pentecost, the kingdom gospel to Israel, was that the gospel for today?
No.
No. When he said that this is what was spoken since the world began, since Joel and Samuel. Samuel was, I think, their first prophet. Since the world began. And Paul, his gospel, the mystery, was before the world began, right? Ain't that things that differ? It's different. One is since the world, one's before. Got to rightly divide it, right? Or you'll mix up sharing a gospel that will save nobody today, right? So, he says that you may approve things that are excellent, or test things that differ, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, and that's the rapture. So we're going to end there, and I got in all my verses. Praise the Lord! I never get them in.